as we start tonight, I just want to begin by praying. So, Lord, thank you so much for this time with my friends and, Lord, those that need an encouraging word from you. And, Father, I just ask that you speak to through me tonight, that, Lord, your words just flow, that you help us to all get our focus on you and how big you are and all the possibilities that we have when we walk with a God that dearly loves us. And so we just give you this evening and just pray that you'd be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, I've been working on this lesson for several weeks. I started reading in Romans 8, and I read that through one morning, and I thought, oh my goodness, there is so much in here that is just powerful and is right what we need for these days. And because there's just no doubt that it's a crazy, crazy time in our lives with, my goodness, we're wearing masks to go to the grocery store. People have lost jobs. People are waiting in food lines. Oil crashed. Oh my goodness, that was a whole thing. It's lower than it's been in decades. And one of our businesses is tied to that. So there's a lot of things going on right now in society where we need to have something that keeps us stable. And one of the big things that I see is, and the big key in all of this, is where our mind is fixed. I've talked to different people recently. I have people that I call to check on. And just in talking to people or people that have called me, you can tell pretty quick just where their heart is by listening. And I have just been, I just want to encourage you that we really do have to guard our heart. And the reason we have to is because our thinking controls our actions and our emotions and our words. There's so much that's tied to that. What you think on, what you dwell on throughout the day, whether it's a problem or how you're going to fix it or how you're going to figure something out. All of these things can be linked to our thinking, is linked to our emotions, our actions, our words, and it governs how we respond to the chaos, the negativity that is around us. And so I just want to ask you, where is your heart fixed right now? Where is it? Is it fixed on negativity? Because if it is, it makes it real easy to lose the battle that we're in. And I want to read in Proverbs 4, verses 3, if you've gotten your Bible. Proverbs 4, verse 3 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Right there is it tells us that everything flows from our heart. And we are to guard our heart, and we're to guard our heart with the Word of God and with peace and with what God says, and by going to Him to see His perspective. Philippians 4:7, and let me read that to you from the Bible. It says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." And right there, God tells us what He wants to govern our thoughts. And it certainly is not all the negativity. It's not all the negative things that are going on. And there's certainly, we have to listen to news. We need to be informed. But we also have to walk away and say, "All right, Lord, what are you saying to me?" Because if we just take it all hook, line, and sinker, it's going to lead us down a path that is not peaceful. And let's turn now in your Bibles to Romans 8. In Romans 8, verses 5 and 6, the whole chapter is great to read, but I'm going to read this just for time's sake. It says, "Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires." And I want to stop right there. The flesh desires panic, anxiety, fear, all those things are so rampant when you look at a lot of social media and when you look at what is in our media today. And then it goes on to say, in Romans 8, verses 5 and 6, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Big key point. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So I want to ask you right now, in your current situations, is your heart being governed by life and peace? That's what God's heart is for us. And it goes on to say in verse 7, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. And that's the thing that I've seen is whenever I tend to look at the negativity, it can rob me quickly of the peace and the life that God has for us. You know, if we look, I look at the things in the government, and certainly, you know, you may or may not agree with the president, but that man needs our prayers. He certainly needs us praying for him. But if we look at the negative in the government, in our nation, in our job situation, in our family situation, any of those things, if we look at all the what ifs, it can lead us down a path that is fearful, that can bring us into just fear and anxiety, and it doesn't bring us life and peace. And negativity is toxic. I'm telling you, it's draining, it's toxic, it destroys, it pollutes the media, it tries to invade our homes, our lives, our marriages, it sucks you dry. That's what negativity does, and it's something that the enemy tries to use to cause destruction. Negativity blinds us, and it hurts relationships. I remember years ago, I was a young mom. I was trying to figure out how to be a young married woman and raise this baby that I had. And I remember there was a woman that actually went to church with me, and our kids started playing. And every time I talked with her, she was always just complaining about her husband and complaining about her kids and complaining about not having money and complaining. And there was so much negativity that I would literally walk away from, you know, our kids having just a playtime, and I would be exhausted. And I finally had to just set some boundaries, because I realized that negativity, the more I listened to her, then I would begin to think about things that were wrong, you know, with my late husband, and things that, you know, we didn't have, or negative thinking even about my children and being a mom and how much time it took. And I just want to encourage you to just begin to focus on how does God see your situation, because when we focus on Him and when we look to Him, we see all the possibilities of how big He is. So many times, if we're looking at the negative, it just blinds us to the possibilities. And so much creativity can come when we're looking to God. God, how are you going to work this out? How are you going to fix the job situation? You know, there's creativity that God wants to deposit in some people. They're new businesses that He wants you to start. They're new and creative things He wants you to do. But if you're focused on the negative, it's going to rob you and zap you. I was talking to somebody recently, and I got off the phone. I felt exhausted, totally, totally exhausted. And I think that there's a place where we have to tell anxiety and panic and fear and depression, we have to tell these things to go, that they're not our friends. What I see is that sometimes it's so easy to treat them like house guests, open the door, let them in, play with our mind, and it leads us down a path that God doesn't really have for us. He has a life of peace and joy for us. You know, after losing my late husband, I was married for 30 years, And my late husband contracted a very rare cancer. And after losing him, we'd been in a big battle for his life. And before that, I had been caring for my mom, and she was deteriorating physically. And so after Joe had died, I really struggled with depression. And I felt like my life was over. I just felt like it did. Now, cognitively, I knew I was 49. I had three kids that needed a mom. Cognitively, I knew those things, but I still had to wrestle with that negativity every day. When I would wake up, I wouldn't even feel like getting up. I'd think, what's the use? And maybe you're feeling like that right now because you're financially the way things are, or you don't have a job to go to. I want to encourage you to just take a hold of the hand of God and wrestle with those feelings and read what the Word has to say about what God has to give you, which is righteousness, peace, and joy. And I think it's so important that we have to make God bigger than our circumstances. Let's go to Romans 8 and verse 10 and 11. It says, but if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because His Spirit lives in you. You see, when we give our heart to Christ, we're given a new life, and we have to learn how to live it. It's a brand new life. And I think so many times Christians can get defeated easily. They just say, well, this doesn't work. I used to say, well, I'm not peaceful because God didn't give me peace. I was blaming God. And let me just say real quick, losers blame. Somebody said that one time, and I thought, that is so true. It's time we take our responsibility. Christ says He gives us a new life. We just have to practice it. It's just like riding a bike. My little 4.5-year-old granddaughter took off her training wheels and has started riding her bike. And she had to practice, and she had to practice, and she fell down, and then she'd have to practice again. And it's like that with the new life Christ gives us, that new life of righteousness and peace and joy. And there are going to be times when, you know, we're going to fail, but the thing that we have to do, and maybe you fall into negativity tomorrow morning, realize it, tell it to go, it's not your friend, get right back up and practice the peace of God. Practice walking in the new life that He's given you. So I just love that passage in Romans 8, verses 10 and 11. You know, God calls us righteous. And it says that His power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. That's a lot of power. So don't think you're powerless. Don't think that you're totally defeated. It might look like that, and it might feel like that. But we have to make God bigger than our circumstances. And I just, you know, I feel passionate about this, I guess because I've lived it in the last 10, 11, 12 years. And what I've learned is we have a God-given right to overcome in any circumstance that we face, in any adversity. That is your God-given right as a child of God. And, you know, for me, it didn't happen overnight. It's been a process of learning to and growing in the situations and in just some of the devastation that I faced from losing my late husband to my mom and my dad, all in relatively a short amount of time. But what I can tell you is God is a God of redemption, and He's redeemed so many circumstances in my life that looked like total defeat. And we have to keep our focus on Him. And part of that is partnering with Him. partnering with God. You know, he loves us, right? He loves us, the scripture says. He loved us when we were yet sinners. So he's not expecting us to get everything right the very first day we walk with him. It's a day-by-day process. It's taking his hand each day and saying, Lord, help me with this. Lord, help me figure this out. Lord, help me to see my situation from your perspective. And, you know, the new you, the life you have in Christ when you've given your heart to Jesus, it has a God-given right to walk in peace. And I learned to walk in peace in some very adverse circumstances. When my mom got so sick, and for 2 years, doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. And the disease she had was damaging her brain. And there were so many negative things that were coming. And it was walking in the hospitals that I had to go to with mom. And in the hospital at MD Anderson with Joe, my late husband, that I learned to practice my peace. And it was a day-by-day process. And, you know, our peace and our hope has to be rooted in who God says we are and in his power. In his power. Now, everything didn't turn out exactly like I wanted. I can't tell you that. But I can tell you that he's a God that restores and redeems. So let's go on now to Romans 8, verses 14 through 16. It says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God, in other words, we have an opportunity to be led or not. We can follow God or not. It's our choice. It says, those that are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. Oh my goodness, right there it says that what God has for us is not fear. That when we give our hearts to him, then we are his children. And as his children, there are things that we inherit that we can walk in and we can practice each day. Right there, it tells us that as children of God, fear and panic are not from God. And again, let me just encourage you, if those negativity, anxiety, fear, panic, depression, if they show up at your door, don't let them in. Don't just open the door and let them come in and ransack your house. You wouldn't do that if somebody shady knocked on your door. You would try to shut it. You would try to shut it. You'd call 911. You would do all sorts of things. And that's what we have to do. But we have to do our part. And God's right there to help us every step of the way. Let's go on to Romans 8. Verses 16 through 18, it says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. There it is again. Now, if we are children, then heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. God knows about your suffering right now. He knows about maybe how your heart is hurting. And I'm here to tell you too, he loves to heal broken hearts. So if your heart is broken over maybe losing a loved one, I get that. I get that. And take that pain to the Lord and just say, Jesus, this hurts. It doesn't have to be a long, complicated prayer. Jesus, this hurts and I need you to heal it. I think so many times people get angry at God and they push him away when they lose a loved one. And if they don't know him and their mind goes to that negative place, and they get in that trap, it's so easy to feel their life is over. And I'm here to tell you that it's not. The important thing again is that we partner with God in the process. Now I want to read this next part in verse 18. This is Romans 8:18. It says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Oh my word. Right there, do you realize that even where you are right now, and even in whatever God has you working to overcome, all creation is waiting in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. There are people out there waiting for you to rise up in your identity. And you may say, Kathleen, what are you talking about? I'm talking, and I've got several podcasts on identity. You might look them up. But understanding who we really are in Christ, and part of my testimony is I got my identity from my work, from my husband, from my children. And one day God showed me, he said, you can't get your identity from those things because they could all be gone. And that's true. That's so true. I sold my business. My kids grew up and started their own lives. And it was right after that that I lost my husband. And so my identity had to be rooted in who God says I was. And so check out some of those. Those are some good podcasts. I think these are such powerful times for us as believers because we can give away good news. We can give away peace and joy. We can give away hope. One of the things I do is try to call different widows and widowers just to check on them and see how they're doing and to encourage them because I know what that loneliness is like. And sometimes we get so focused on ourselves and the negativity around us that we don't realize how we could be spreading hope, spreading joy, spreading life to all of those around us. Even walking through the grocery store, one of the things I try to do is just smile at people. I may not know them, but I can give away my smile. And I can give away my peace, too. I walked into a local establishment the other day, and when I got there, the lady, you know, said, can I help you? And I said, yes. And I told her, and I could tell she was really flustered. And I said, are you okay? And she said, I've just got so much. And she just went on and on. And I've got this going on, and I've got this. And oh my word, this happened, and this happened. And I just looked at her, and I said, just the two of us were there. And I said, ma'am, I've got plenty of peace. Can I give you some of mine? And she looked at me and she said, well, yeah. And I said, okay, can I pray for you? And I just right there, just prayed a real simple prayer and was able to just give her some of the peace of God that was residing in my heart to her. And after we finished praying, she just looked up at me and she said, I feel so much better now. This scripture in Romans 8:18 says right there, it's, let me get I can't quote it. I wish I could, but I don't have all these memorized. It says, for creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. These are awesome opportunities that we have right now in the days that we're living in. And, you know, it's our God-given right because we inherit these things as children of God. Both of my parents passed away and they left us an inheritance. I have a rich, godly inheritance from both of my parents that I'm forever grateful for. They trained me, they raised me to know God and gave me a good foundation. And if you're a parent, I just want to encourage you to impart those things to your kids, to your grandkids. And but they also left me and my brother and my sister some financial inheritance. And I look at that, when I look at that and liken it to scripture, we have a God-given right to walk in peace, to walk in joy, to walk in righteousness. And it's just like anything, we can pick it up and use it or not. If somebody gives me a gift, I can leave it wrapped in the package and never receive the benefit of that present. Or I can open the present and I can use it, and it's beneficial to my life. So we have a God-given right to walk in peace. In Romans 15, 13, it says, may the God of hope, God says right there that he's a God of hope, may he fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. And so peace is a choice. Peace is a choice. And I know it's crazy out there right now. I'm not going to deny that it's not, because it really is. There's so much that is going on in our nation. But all creation is waiting for the sons and daughters of God, people that carry his presence with them wherever they go, to be revealed. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to believe when our circumstances are so difficult, but I want to read to you in Romans 8:28 as we go on through the chapter. It says that all things work together for good for those that love the Lord. All of our circumstances are about us being conformed to his image. I just went through some recent remodeling, and oh my word, it about made me pull my hair out. I had gotten new carpet and had done some new paint. And the short version of it is I had just finished that right before the Christmas holidays. And right after January, I think it was January, I don't know, about the 6th or 7th, we were gone and we had a leak in our ice maker. The valve broke, and water went all over, and we had damage all over our house that seeped through through the kitchen wall into the living room, totally ruined my new carpet. And there was so much that was going on in there, and this, it was just difficult. It was so difficult, and it looked, you know, it looked like it would never end. I had 2 to 3 men at my house every day for weeks with water mitigation and contractors and insurance people and meeting after meeting. But I'm just telling you, in that whole situation, and I forgot to say that my carpet, when I'd originally ordered it, it was back ordered. It was supposed to take 7 days. It took months for me to get that carpet in. And because of all of that, it looked, you know, the situation looked pretty grave, but the company I worked with gave me some money to compensate me, because they had a guarantee that it was supposed to be done by a certain time. And even in all the remodeling that I had to go through and having to kind of start all over again right after the first of the year, there were just provisions that I had because this company gave me some money that I was able to even get other things done that I didn't anticipate getting done. And so God is a God of redemption. I don't care how bleak it looks right now. He's with you and he's going to help you through. So let me go on just to wrap up in Romans 8, and let me go to 31. It says, what shall we say in response to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God sees your needs, and whatever it is that you need right now, whether it's comfort, whether it's peace, whether it's joy, whether it's finances, I just encourage you to look to him. Make him your source, not the government, not your job, not your spouse. You and you alone are responsible for what you fix your mind on and how you look at situations. And it's going to govern your language. It's going to govern how you respond to everything. And, you know, I love verse 38 in Romans. It says, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels or demons, neither things present or future, nor powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ that's in us. Sweet friends, guard your heart from the negativity, from the fear, from the doubt, from the unbelief, and partner with God in these days. He has so much that he wants to walk with you, wants to walk with you during these days. And all of creation is waiting for us to rise up and give them the peace, the joy, the love, and the hope that we have in Christ. And so I just want to give you five quick things as I wrap up. The first and most important thing is if you haven't given your heart to Jesus, it's a great time because I think we all need somebody to help us. I couldn't do life without him. And number two, just declare that you're going to partner with him each day. And whenever you're going to partner with him to walk out the new life that he's given you, and you're going to turn to him. I think just making that public declaration and saying, Lord, and even that even saying it out loud, Lord, I choose to partner with you in the new life that you've given me. And then repent of negativity. Repentance is turning and going the other way. And so anytime negativity shows up, knocks at your door, you have a choice to slam the door or open it and play with those things, but it's not going to benefit you. And so repent of negativity and tell it to go. Tell fear, anxiety, depression, they're not your friends, and to go. And there's something about even speaking those things out and partnering with the Lord that helps us to walk in the things that God has for us. And then the last thing, number five, is to rest in his love. Realize that he loves you right where you are. Realize that he's looking down at you with joy. And yeah, you might panic tomorrow. When you realize it, say, Lord, I give you this panic. We can give him anything that's not working in our life or not. Or we can sit there in the self-pity and wallow in that. But I'm telling you, self-pity doesn't look good on you. It just doesn't. And God has so much more for us as his kids, righteousness, peace, and joy. And so thanks so much for spending the evening with me. And thank you so much for joining me. I really just appreciate it. Let me hear from you. You can leave me a comment, a message, a question. You can private message me. And don't forget, if you liked what you heard tonight, to hit the like button, share, or even start a watch party with your friends. And let's just pray. If you want to just right where you are, take a minute to just be with the Lord. I think that would be great. Maybe stop if you're doing something else and let's just pray. God, I thank you for each one listening. And I thank you for your great, great love and that you're with us. And that, Lord, you have righteousness, peace, and joy for us as your kids. They're our inheritance. And so I pray for each one of the sweet people that are listening, Lord, that they would turn their heart to you, that they would repent of negativity, that they would daily practice their peace and their joy and dependence on you and trust you. Thank you that you're a God of hope and that you're with us to walk with us through these uncertain days. And I ask that you bless each family richly. And Father, for anybody that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, I just pray that they would invite you to come into their hearts and ask you to forgive them of their sin and begin to seek your word. So bless all my friends with your peace and your love for them. Let them feel your comfort. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks so much for watching.
Hello, this is Kathleen Maxwell Ramby with The Gathering, bringing God into everyday life. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the lesson. And remember, don't just listen, partner with God and practice it. If you love this podcast, consider becoming a patron. Your donations help keep them coming and are greatly appreciated. To give, simply click the red button that says Become a Patron or Patronage. Your one-time gift or your monthly gift of $1, $5, $10, or $25, or whatever you desire, will be greatly appreciated. I want to give a shout out to our monthly donors that help support this podcast this month: Mary Meachelstein, Colin Melissa Johnson, Michelle Schilling, Deanna Caraway, and those who have also given gifts: Laura Jane Elder, Lori Milton, Lisa Davis, Fran Hulse, Linda Force, and Joanne English. We now have listeners from over 9 countries across the world. My heart is to share my life experiences and stories of how God wants to be a part of our everyday lives through my real life experience with Him, and to share His Word. I want people's hearts to be encouraged, healed, set free, and strengthened. I have chosen not to charge for podcasts, as I know some cannot afford it, and yet I trust God to speak to those that can. Also, if you enjoyed today's message, click the like button or leave a comment. I love hearing from my listeners. Thanks again for joining us. And if you'd like to contact me, you can email me at kathleenmaxwell1@gmail.com and check us out on Facebook at The Gathering Kerrville. Have a great day.